Good morning. Welcome to the FTS bet slip on Wednesday, the 17th of March. I'm good at this since I moved to the new routine, and I've managed to do it for 1 week. Just ran out of time yesterday, I'll be honest. I was busy pretty much all morning and did want to watch the racing, dealing with emails, non-deliveries of things, and I had to keep an eye on that. So I do apologise. There was no pod yesterday. Purely ran out of time. Disappointed to read this morning, before we get into any sport, Ed is a long-standing FTS member, really nice guy. I think some may say occasionally he can be argumentative, but he's a really nice guy. Can't drink for toffee. Left Lingfield in an ambulance, if you haven't heard that story. Put it down a bean iffy or something. Pissed, Ed. But really disappointed to see that he was subject yesterday to a racist attack whilst out shopping. Guy following him home, calling him all sorts of horrible, nasty stuff. Chinese C word. I don't like to swear, as you know. Telling him to go back to his own country. It's sort of, I've touched on this many times. I went to football in the 80s when racism was very apparent, and it was massively apparent. It seemed to have sort of disappeared, but it never disappeared. It just bubbled under the surface. They were still there, but they were less likely to show their faces. And then we've had Brexit, people like Trump, Farage, Johnson, who are racist. I don't care anybody, whatever you say about them, whether you like them or hate them, they are racist. It's absolutely indisputable. Hartley Brewer, all these sort of media people as well. It really has bubbled up, and sort of, you know, Colin Kaepernick kneeling started that sort of thing, and that got abused for the fact that he was abusing the flag when he wasn't. It's just a horrible thing. And the question Ed asked, which I've been thinking about pretty much all morning, is how do you stop it? And it is really, it's a really difficult thing. We have all these sort of movements and protests, but it is an education. But while you've got these people like Farage stoking up crowds, it is a really difficult thing to stop. You know, we've had this with women in the last week. I mean, you know, the desperately sad, the girl getting murdered in Clapham, you know, very near where my boy lives, and his girlfriend walks home from the station on her own, which will be stopping now. Amazing how it makes you think of things. Change your life for these things. And people say, well, that's silly. It is silly till it happens, isn't it? And that's something that's existed in society and almost been accepted. I mean, when you actually read about it, and I've read a lot about it over the last week, it is horrendous. It is horrendous how men treat women. And it's been accepted for years. And this, you know, particularly, and Ed makes a valid point, Asian racism seems to almost go untalked about. Nobody mentions it. And you never meet a racist, do you? They never, ever. Nobody has ever, I've never met one person who's ever admitted to being a racist. I've called people racist before to their face. I've sat at poker tables, said, you're just a racist, mate. I'm not racist. I'm not fucking racist. They never, ever admit to it. No, I'm not racist. I'm not racist. I'm not racist. I absolutely abhor it. It's, you know, I've said that on this pod many times. It's something that really does annoy me. But it is a difficult thing to stop. And it's a really interesting question. And I've been thinking about it all morning. I read your tweet pretty much when I first got up this morning, 5 o'clock-ish, and I can't come up with an answer with the way society is at the minute, with these divisions and how it's being driven, how we do actually go about properly stopping it. Not just pretending it doesn't exist, but actually properly educating people and stopping it. Because there is, you know, Trump going around saying China virus proved it raised Asian racism in America. Got people here. I've got people on FTS who call it China virus. It's just disgusting. It's horrific. But it really has got me thinking. I'm really sorry that happened to you yesterday. Obviously, I didn't do it, but just horrible. And how do we stop it? Yeah, how do you actually properly stop it? You get people, footballers kneeling to highlight racism. They get abused for doing it. And I'm not watching sport anymore if they're kneeling. All these different things just to try and brush away any attention of it. And I'm not saying that kneeling is the answer. I think it's just something to try and stop and make you think, why are they doing that? Oh, hang on a minute. Do people call it out in places like football grounds? I think there was a period where they do, but maybe not so much now. We have had incidents, haven't we? Was it Chelsea or West Ham where somebody got they got arrested, didn't they? For I can't remember, but there was a player. Was it Sterling? I genuinely can't remember. It was a few years ago, wasn't it? A couple of years ago. Just it's something to think about. What actually can properly be done? Because I said I go back. For me, the rise started with Anders Breivik back in Norway. That's when it started to bubble back up again, and then events like Brexit, Trump, all getting it has become much more widespread and almost endemic again, and just going as if it's part of society and normal. And there's some horrific people about. There really are. I mean, that Hartley Brewer and that people who listen to her, she's just a horrific woman. Absolutely horrific. I think didn't Ash Sarkar get a woman apologise yesterday or day before for racism? And Julie Hartley Brewer, what did she say that was racist? She's just disgusting. And their trouble is they got a load of listeners, and it's that same sort of confirmation bias. It just gets, if that's what you listen to, you get it rammed into you and you think it's normal. I think everybody needs to take a good, long, hard look at themselves with things like that. I remember some friends of mine come up from Cornwall about 4 or 5 years ago. I've never spoken to them since. Went on holiday with them a few times. Came up from Cornwall, where they lived, and we knew them from being down there when we were in Devon. And we went out in London, and the first thing they said when they got off the train, a lot of black people up here, aren't there? Couldn't live up here. And I've not spoken to him since, genuinely. I just thought, I can't be having this. Horrific. Anyway, that's that. Right, Cheltenham yesterday, nice do your bollocks first day. Didn't really enjoy it, I'm going to be honest. I did think, more so than football, the lack of crowds, it just lacked something from me. I think maybe the way the first two races were run, 24, pardon me, 24 lengths in the first, 12 in the second. First might have been closer if Ballyadam hadn't blundered a couple out, but I don't think he'd have beaten the winner. Very impressive, fantastic to watch them. Appreciate it was superb. Shishkin was superb. Honeysuckle, Kevin Kelly didn't give it a chance in the morning, but I fancied that, and that was superb. But it just lacked something for me, and I think it was the lack of crowds. It's great to watch these horses, but I just didn't get in as much enjoyment as I have in previous years. Probably because I was doing my nuts as well. Yeah, I mean, it's 4 days to go, and it's tough racing. I didn't see the last race, but Next Destination was my biggest bet of the day, and that came second. One of the guys who I deal with said he should have ridden it a bit more prominently. Well, that's right. Best finish of the day was probably Black Tears getting up on Concertista, which probably saved the bookies a bit of cash. And Vintage Cloud's done well. But yeah, just lacks something for me. I think today we're going to see Monkfish, I think, will probably destroy the field in that race. I'm just looking to see what other ones. Again, it could be favourites. It could just I'm just clicking through. Could be favourites. Bob Olger, but Monkfish definitely, I think, will probably win as easy as those two did yesterday, barring any falls. But I hope the handicaps are a bit more competitive and we can get involved. Coral Cup. And of course, we've got the Champion Chase where I will be taking the favourite on. So have a look on the blog. We've got Chacun Pour Soi is 4 to 5 favourite. Not for me today. Not for me. I'll be taking that on. But we'll have all that out, as I say, 11:30. But yeah, I just lacked something for me yesterday. I don't know what it was, but we'll liven it up tomorrow. We've got the old Zoom party. We'll liven it up with a bit of Guinness. I don't know. I was just sat here on my own watching it, and I just thought it's just missing something. Right, I quite often get asked, this was a sort of stats day, and I can keep just going week in, week out, reeling off stats, but I quite often get asked, and it was sort of alluded to in the Telegram group, how do I do things, how do I get my bets, probably again something else I get emails about week in, week out, and I get accused, if you like, of I say all this stuff, but I don't actually tell people how to do it. I actually think I give quite a bit away for nothing. Heat maps, how to use the data. I think I do quite a bit of it. But I was going to walk you through a word I use quite a lot, and is on Ultimate, is Poisson. So I was just going to talk a little bit about that today, in how I look at it, what I use it for. Hopefully you follow along. I'm a big one for models, so I actually run three or four models. So basically Poisson is a probability distribution. It's a mathematical formula. It's built into Excel, and it can be used to show how many times an event is likely to occur within a specified period. And that's it. So it's literally, it's a distribution count, on to show how many times things may occur in a certain time. So for football, it could be within the set period of 90 minutes, the number of goals scored. They're the independent events. What's the probability of the goals scored? And what you do is you use the average number of times an event will happen, and then you can look at individual teams to see how likely their occurrences deviate from the average. If I'm probably going to lose some people in this. It's not the easiest thing to describe talking. Again, that's why I sort of say to people, you need to really stand in a room with a whiteboard and some Excel sheets and things, but that's basically what it is. So if I take what we basically take are the two teams and the league average, and we get some numbers out of those, and then we can multiply that out in this Poisson formula to see what is the likelihood of the distribution of those goals in relation to score lines. So I've just picked two teams this morning. Arsenal, probably because they're still haunting me from the weekend, and Crystal Palace because we beat them. So if we take Arsenal at home, and I use everything home and away specific. So if we take Arsenal at home, Arsenal have played 14 games this season at home. They've scored 18 goals and they've conceded 15. And that gives them an average of 1.29 goals scored per game at home, and an average of 1.07 goals against at home, obviously against different levels of opposition. Crystal Palace have played 14 games away. They've scored 16 goals at home and let in 26 goals away. So away, they have scored 1.14 games away, but they're letting in 1.86 games away. The league averages are home teams scoring 1.32. So Arsenal scoring 1.29. Home teams league average is 1.32. So across every game played in the Premier League, it's 1.32. So Arsenal are just under that, 0.03 underneath it. And away teams, home teams are letting in, or away teams are scoring 1.28 games per game. So there is still a home are scoring more goals. Home teams are scoring more goals than away teams. And the average goal away that home teams are letting in, from away teams is 1.28. Remember, Arsenal 1.07. So Arsenal are letting in less goals at home than the league average. They're only letting in 1.07 compared to a league average of 1.28. So basically, you end up with six numbers. Arsenal scored and conceded at home, average. Palace scored and conceded away, average. And the league average. And obviously, by using the league average and putting that into your sums, it encounters for all the games that are played and how, and obviously different levels of opposition. So how you would go about it, because obviously Palace would probably be more likely to let goals in against Man City, who probably have higher numbers. So Man City, for example, at home are averaging 2.25 goals. So they would get a different outcome to Arsenal, who are averaging 1.29. So you multiply them by the league average, because Man City are far outperforming the league average for scoring goals, where Arsenal are just under it. So the results that you would get against Crystal Palace then would come out differently. So you take those six numbers and you basically put them into a Poisson formula, which is built into Excel. In effect, it gives you an expected goal. So we're taking the league average, we're taking Arsenal's strength at home, we're taking the league average and Palace's defensive strength. So how many goals Arsenal score at home times by the league average times by Palace, how many goals Palace let in, and it creates a number which gives you this goal expectancy, if you like. I'm not using it in the phrase expected goals, just there give you a number for Arsenal of 1.81, and doing the reverse for Palace with the away numbers and what Arsenal concede at home, what Palace score, league average, gives you 0.95. So in that game there, we've got two figures that we end up with by using this Poisson formula, and you can Google it and look it up on Excel. You've got 1.81 and 0.95 for those two teams if Arsenal were home to Palace. You can then take those two numbers in Excel and put them into the Poisson formula to multiply them out further, and it's Poisson times the scoreline, 0, if you were looking at 0-0, Poisson times 0 times Arsenal's number, and then Poisson times 0 times Palace's number, and it gives you a percentage of how likely that game is to finish 0-0. So indeed, in Palace versus Arsenal, let me just see, the 0-0 is only likely to be 6.3%. 1-0 to Arsenal is 11.4%, which is by far the most likely outcome. 2-0 to Arsenal is 10.3%. 1-1 is 10.9%. So basically, it takes that and, as I say, it distributes then the likelihood based on Arsenal and Palace's numbers. It distributes them in a table across all the scorelines, and I go up to 10-10. So I run everything up to what's the likelihood of 10-10. Often, you know, as you would think, that comes out at 0, as does 8-9. Invariably, I think what's what we got in Arsenal's case of this game, there's a 0.1% chance of Palace winning 5-2. And there's a 1% chance of Arsenal winning 5-0. What you then do, obviously I end up with a table full of percentages, so I've got all those percentages, so 0-0, 6.3, 0-1, 6.0, 0-2, 2.0. I can take all those, I can take all the percentages of the home wins, so every scoreline that is a home win, take that percentage, add them all together, and I end up then, based on the league numbers, putting them through Poisson, producing this table of scores, adding all the home win scores together, I end up with a probability of 57%. So all the home scores are added together for Palace versus Arsenal versus Palace. Every scoreline where it's a home win, all the little percentages added together. So the 1-0 11.4%, the 2-0 10.3%, the 3-0 6.2%. I'm adding those together. That gives me a probability of 57%, which equates to an odds of 1.74. I modify that figure slightly from there to allow for margins. But then I can end up with a final figure, which I compare to what's available on Betfair. So I might end up with, I've got odds of, true Poisson odds in effect of 1.74. It might be on Betfair that Arsenal are 2.2. They probably won't be, of course, against Palace. And I can then make a decision in, have I got enough info, enough juice in that price for me to want to have a bet? I run four, in effect, Poisson models. You've got the one that is on FTS Ultimate, which is just one set of data based on the current season, and that starts to populate. We collect the data from match day one, but it starts to populate with Poisson calculations from match day eight, because we need goals. So if there's no goals, you know, week one, you're going to get no figures because nothing's been scored. There's no league averages there. So we let eight games be played. And then that gives us every team scored and conceded goals by then in both halves. We're able to calculate numbers. And those numbers, in effect, for me, strengthen every week because you're getting more data going. I then run some fixed models, which I do over certain time spans. So I might do it over 20 games. I might do it over 50 games. So that would go back and look at Arsenal's last 50 games at home, Palace's last 50 games away, the league average over those 50-game period, because that's what you've got to have. And again, it'll do the multiplying out. So I might end up now, well, I will end up because I do it four times, I'll end up with four Poisson figures in effect for Arsenal on a Saturday. One that's happening now, current season, and then one going back in longer time periods. So I can see, does it hold firm over time? Not rather than, does it just, oh, this week? From there then, I can make my decision on my bets. I think the key thing is I don't rely solely on Poisson. The one thing Poisson does, it gives you, on the way I run it, and my good friend Chrissy Spreadsheets helped me with this, it gives you all the odds, so I can get, you know, if you want to know the under 2.5 odds, you'd add up all the scoreline percentages under 2.5. So you'd add up, 0-0, 0-1, 1-0, 1-1. You'd add all those together and it might say 45%. Again, you can convert it into odds. See, so you can pretty much cover any market, both teams to score, all the score lines where both teams have scored, 1-1, 2-1, 1-2, all those you take. So how I run it, I use it predominantly for over 2.5, predominantly for first half goals, and predominantly for match odds, home wins only. I only ever, for this method, I only really use it for home wins. I have quite a specific price point. I work between sort of 1.8 and 2.3. I'm not a massive fan on really short shots. I'm not a massive fan on losing runs when you get above that. So in effect, that's, I tighten things down. I talk a lot about bet selection and number of bets. And I like to focus, and I get Chrissy to build into mine, actually show me the top three scores that it predicts. So in Arsenal, the top three scores it predicts, Arsenal Palace, is 1-0, 1-1 and 2-0. I tend to like to take the first score, and I like it to be a home win for my personal betting. I like it to be a home win without the away team scoring a goal. So I like the 1-0s, 2-0s, 3-0s. I tend to look at those and go, that's what I like. I like it when that is 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, and there's no... the opposition don't score. So that's the kind of thing I look at. So I would look, for example, for me, Arsenal, it's 1-0. What are the home odds? I'd want them to between 1.8 and 2.0 on Betfair. Are the Poisson odds lower than that? So if it's between 1.8 and 2.3, I'd need Arsenal to be, say, let's say Arsenal's Poisson number comes out, actually I've got it here, 1.74 we said, so I would need Arsenal to be bigger than that. So I want value in the Betfair price. I want that. I want to see a scoreline of the away team not scoring. That would be my sort of starting criteria, and that's when I would look at heat maps. So I would then go to my heat maps for the Premier League, for example, and I'd say, right, how actually do home teams in general... Apologies, I believe it went wrong from this point. I can't fully remember what I said. Oh, Chrissy's tapped me up with this mic. But I'd got to the point where I was going through the criteria, and I would then go to a heat map to check that. So let's assume I was back in a home team in the Championship, Millwall price 1.98 against Huddersfield. I've got value. I've got a 1-0 scoreline on Poisson. So it's telling me, you know, the three scorelines I've got here on the Poisson sheet, 1-0, 2-0, 0-0. It's telling me Huddersfield unlikely to score. Millwall fancy to win by a clean sheet on those numbers. The Poisson odds is 1.64. The Betfair odds are 1.98. So I've got value there. I then might go to the heat maps and look at the Championship. And if I'm back in home teams around about 2.0 historically, how have they got on? I don't need to see a mass of green. I don't need to see 80 points green. What I don't want to see is a mass of red. That's going to what would put me off. If I saw that in that bracket, round 1.9 to 2.1, betting home teams in the Championship was absolutely rancid, then I just would exclude that game. That would give me a reason. I say I'm always looking for reasons not to have a bet, as opposed to a reason to have a bet, like most people. That I'd say, actually, that bracket, if I keep repeating that bet, the market's getting that one about right. If irrespective of what my numbers say, I'm kind of swimming against the tide too much, I'll give it a miss. If it was around level, 5-6 points up, that would be, actually, this isn't a bracket that gets beat up. I like the bet I'm having today. So really, I just was trying to say how much goes into it and what goes into it. And it's not a simple process. I mean, the maintenance of data is a massive thing for me. You know, I'm almost anal about it. I keep it up to date every single day. Numerous spreadsheets. I never bin anything. My Dropbox is full of spreadsheets. But just that keeping on top of, particularly with the football program we've had, you know, there's games every day and they're so spread out. So a game in the Championship last night will affect the Poisson figures for today because the league average will change. So the thing I like about Poisson is that movable feast, that it's moving with the data as it moves. So when there's low scoring in the league, it's reflecting that. When there's high scoring in the league, it's reflecting that. And those trends get played out over a long period of time as you do it in. So I look at multiple sources. I personally like to have two sources, pretty much minimum, to confirm for me a bet. I'll have a long list of bets that I will run through. But really, I was just sort of saying to you that that's where I've got to. I'm really sorry at the end of that pod. I genuinely can't remember exactly what I said as I was doing it. My brain's on Cheltenham and getting that stuff out. But yeah, it's this running the process through these numbers. So I'm making it based on the numbers that are on the sheet, as opposed to, you know, most people get the fixtures. Oh, Tottenham scored 100% goals at home in the first half. I'll have a bet on that. I run Poisson for half time as well. So it does all the first half markets, 0.5 first half goals, match odds. Both teams score all that for the first half, as well as over the 90 minute period. So I have a massive amount running. It's not something that I can just say, "Hi guys, this is what I do for that." I really need some time, a break in the program. I can't remember whether I've said this on this pod already. Awful. To make some videos and talk you through a bit more of this process. You know, and we can help with it. But, you know, again, it's one of those things. If people on Ultimate, I think there's some guys, again, I don't know if I've said this, doing 100-day challenge on Poisson alone. Just using the Ultimate Poisson sheet to pick bets out. There's absolute gems in there. I mean, that situation there that I talk about across the Premier League and the Championship, where everybody's moaning about home wins. I just filtered it while I was talking to you there. Now I did it earlier and I've managed to recreate it. So where the first Poisson score is 1-0, 2-0 or 3-0, so basically saying the opposition aren't going to score, the away team's not going to score according to Poisson. Where my modified Poisson odds, which go into that ultimate sheet, are then value. And only on Betfair between 1.8 and 2.3. So just, you know, the area I like to bet in is that roundabout even money. I'm not a massive fan of shorties. I don't want losing runs back in 6-7 shots. It's just not for me. Going back to what I said in the pod the other day on Monday about finding your style, what suits you. So the top game in this, for example, Millwall 1.64. Home score from one is 1.0. Second score is 2-0. And Betfair, they were 1.98. So I've got value in the price, 1.64 to 1.98. I've got the first two scores telling me 1-0, 2-0. There's been just this season when everybody's decrying home wins, you can't win, Ben, at home. It's all gone. It's all ended. Football's over. There's been 36 instances there in the Premier League and the Championship for 12 points profit. Huge numbers. 12 points out of 36 bets, betting round even money. Huge numbers. Doesn't take a massive amount of digging. Just got to put some effort in. But again, people, and I think the guy who put it on Telegram's got the ump with me. Maybe has, maybe hasn't. And it doesn't really bother me. It's just, oh, what's behind those bets isn't a simple question. You know, it's 12, 13 years of development that goes into what I do now. And I'm still, you know, I get Chrissy doing stuff all the time. Chrissy, I want to do this, I want to do that. I'm always thinking, brain's always whirring, let's do that. But I've got core stuff that I use that I go, right, that's there. Routines and processes, and this is one of them. As I say, I run in effect four Poisson models, a Dixon's Cole model that Art does. I run it full-time, half-time. So there's loads of stuff running, producing a massive number of bets. I think Saturday, again, I don't know if I've said it, 399 potential bets I had in 81 games on Saturday. I don't have 399 bets. I don't have anywhere like it. But I'm following a lot of stuff, monitoring a lot of stuff, because I can look back and go, that's what I want to take forward, or I can adapt that, I like that. And I've got a process and a logic behind it, rather than, I'll do this for a week, I've been in that now. Oh, that bloke over there is selling something, I'll have a go at that. Oh, I've heard about this. Oh, what do you do? You do that. Oh, I'll have a go at that. Yeah, what, mate, okay, yeah, give me that. Oh, you're laying the drawer. Well, I'll do that, yeah. You know, that's what goes on generally. So, apologies it went wrong. Don't know whether I've repeated bits, but I had a go at fixing it, and have a good Cheltenham. Arrivederci.